You're listening to
Cattails. You're listening to Cattails, and I'm Cat. This tale is about a true rock original. He's a vocalist, bassist, a songwriter, and a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee. No other rock musician has carved such a distinctive style and contributed to the sound of progressive and hard rock. From his first band Trapeze in the late 60s, through Deep Purple and Black Sabbath to Black Country Communion, he's the voice of rock, believes that love is the answer and music is the healer, and now he's the latest member of the supergroup The Dead Daisies. This is The One with Glenn Hughes.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Hi, I'm fine, actually. How are you doing with all this lockdown business?
We're okay. You know, it's, obviously we haven't really been anywhere. I mean, I just walk every day Actually, I'm going to the dentist today, so it's the first time I've really been out for a while. But
not good one to go to the dentist, though, let's be honest. All the places you could be going, Glenn, you've chosen the dentist. What?
Well, you know, I got to get in there. I got something under a tooth that is either got to be... I can't floss it out, and it's causing me some pain. And so I have to... I mean, my dentist is... Yeah, they're really good over there, so... pretty private, so they'll be all right.
I'll tell you what, you're lucky. About 3 weeks ago, I had the most excruciating toothache. I don't know where it came from. I don't know whether I'd cracked a tooth or whatever. I had it for about 3 weeks. It's now gone, thank God, but I can't get in to see a dentist over here yet because obviously with this lockdown business, they're not working. So it's hell, isn't
it? I know.
Oh dear. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about, is it? It's nice to speak to you anyway. I wanted to have a chat with you about the fabulous new band that you're with, The Dead Daisies.
Right.
I love that concept, actually, of a morphing supergroup. How did you become a Dead Daisy?
I think I got a call from their manager around March of last year to see if I would be interested in taking a meeting, first of all, with David Lowe. And he lives in a few places, but he was going to fly in to see me. He lives in New York, and he flew into Hollywood. He was telling me they would change things around like they've been doing over the course of 3 or 4 years every time, you know.
Yeah.
And asked me if I'd be interested in working with them. Do I have the time to switch gears to stop doing what I was, not stop, but do something a little different. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, I can do many things, as most artists can do skiers and do whatever they want to do. But I really like to be involved in everything I do. And they asked me if I'd come in and be part of this, you know, and continue to write my music like I've been doing. They wanted my songs and my voice to represent the band, if you will. And I had a lovely talk with David, went home, thought about it for a while, then I wrote a couple of songs. Then we got together in New York in last May, a year ago, around about this time. Flew in there. In fact, he flew out to see me play in Michigan on his jet and flew me back to New York. And Doug came out, Dean, and we played these couple of songs, and they worked out great. So we decided, we were still kind of not telling people what was going on, but we decided onwards and upwards.
And the new single that's come out now is just so you. I mean, I've listened to it and I thought immediately it's got your stamp all over it. And, you know, it's distinct with your voice, your style and everything. And it's,
thank you.
It's a bit of an injection into the Dead Daisies in a way, really.
Well, you know, that's the first song I wrote. And that would have been one of the songs we went over. And, you know, when I wrote these songs, I wasn't writing for Black Country or for Glenn, because I was writing Dead Daisies. It's something extreme, as you can hear, it's extremely classic, very early 70s. I'd say they were 80s band before. Now they've asked me to come in and take it back to the 70s, which is what I am, a 70s guy, you know. So, yeah, I mean, Unspoken is Glenn Hughes for the Dead Daisies. You know, I wanted to create arena rock music for a band that deserves to be doing just that.
Yeah, and you've done that. You have absolutely done that with that record.
Thank you.
And of course, it's going to be the prelim now to the album that's coming out. When is the album going to be released? Because obviously with everything up in the air, it's a little bit different. And the album, of course, is Holy Ground. When are you hoping it's out?
Well, Kat, I haven't been told what to say here, but we were supposed to be releasing it at the end of May, but that can't happen because you can't you can't release records that people really can't get, or distribution. No one's distributing records right now. So, we're through Universal, so it's a part of a business thing. We really, really have to take a look at releasing this album when it can be, gotten by everyone. So I would imagine towards the end of the year would be the appropriate time. I can't say when. It might even be January, but it could be 3 months from now, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Things are changing so quickly now. All I can say to you is this, that album is chock full of, this is a really good record. Really outstandingly good record. And recording in France and recording in Hollywood we did some recording last August at Sunset Sound in Hollywood. And then we went to France in November, December, in between my UK tour. And then we finished in Hollywood in February. So it took 3 or 4 months to get it right, Yeah.
I know, and then you've had all the tour that's had to be postponed, and I suppose really you need that tour to be able to launch the album, and that's the unknown factor at the moment.
Yeah, we were supposed to be going out now. We're supposed to be in New York at this moment, but rehearsing to go out start on May 29th. But, I think an official announcement is coming any minute now, like everybody's announcing now that it's basically 2020 is postponed. And we all know generally now that's what's happening in the entertainment industry, where everything is going to have to be put on the back burner. So I can't imagine, again, this is off record, I can't imagine anything happening until early next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. Everybody's saying the same thing because we're all just in this unknown. And of course, when everybody can go, it's going to be one big party.
So I hope so. It's really, again, because the politics behind this rather than the science, because everybody's talking politics and the science really is the way to go. But, is there going to be a cure by next year? We don't know. It's like there might be many cures, but it's the vaccine is all waiting on it. And the entertainment industry will be hit the hardest because of the groups of people you can't have social distancing in clubs for sure. It's tough. Really is tough.
Yeah, and I bet it's really frustrating for you because you seem to come alive most when you're on stage. Does it feel like that for you?
It does. It certainly does. I don't know. I guess I'm fit. I'm fit inside as well. I'm just a very conscious person about where I am in my life right now, and I can't revisit that. I just have to stay present. And this album, when you get to listen to it, everything is about facts, about the human condition. It's very autobiographical stuff I do write, so the people can relate to because they're possibly going through the same things.
Yeah.
But funny enough, it's not really funny, but I wrote this record last year. But when you listen to it now, you'll go, did he know something about this?
Oh.
Because when you read the lyrics to what I've been writing, you'll go, did he know something? I say that laughingly because every track is like, you'll go, hang on a minute. I'm saying, like, chuckling to myself because, and it's not really funny, but I look at the lyrics, I'm going, oh, yeah, what's going on here?
Yeah, but you see, you find that quite amusing. I find that completely understandable with you because I think you're a very spiritual man and you actually walk the talk. I mean, with your mantra about being, love is the answer and music is the healer.
Yeah.
You do actually walk that as well as talk it. And I'm not surprised you've said that. Have you got a routine that you do to try and tap into that sort of like consciousness of your, of yourself?
I do. I work with an Indian fellow, call him a guru if you wish. I have monthly visits with him. I have one on Thursday about presence, about staying in the moment, about I can't fix that guy that used to be Glenn. So now I just work on the guy that is fixable, which is the guy that's living and breathing in this present moment. And my music, I've been told by some meditative people that my greatest meditation is when I'm singing, and you've seen it. So that's the messenger part of Glenn. That's giving back that spiritual love that the universe has given me to give back. That's the way I feel. This is my opinion. And don't live in a world of hate, really do.
Yeah, I totally see that. And, you know, do you feel you've had to let go of that man who used to be, you know, from the Deep Purple days, Trapeze days, and, you know, he's gone?
I do, because I was speaking to someone close to me last night about the past. I said, hey, you know, let's not go there anymore. Let's not go there right now, because, you know, there's so much gossip and so much, you know, so much idle talk about the old Glenn, whatever, the near-death experiences, the over-the-topness, the naked on the roof Glenn. And then you've got the sober Glenn for almost 30 years now. And it's like, I'm one of the lucky ones that survived it. You know, numerous people you know of didn't survive because they weren't so damn lucky, you know, to... Who would have thought all those years ago that I would have actually found help and it worked, you know, and it takes a lot of people out. But I've surrounded myself with loving people, and great family, and great musician friends and great friends. And, you know, and we're all super close. But most important thing, I have a real strong connection with the inner Glenn, the little Glenn inside of me, the guy that's the inner Glenn, the inner guy, not the outer guy.
Yeah. It comes from that within first and foremost, doesn't it? And almost like loving yourself and accepting yourself first.
It really is. It's all about acceptance. It's the biggest thing in life is letting go, as I talk about it Unspoken, to let go of all the past, if you will. The past is a dangerous place for lots of people, you know, and just stay present.
Well, why don't we take a quick break now then, Glenn, and listen to Unspoken, the awesome new record from the Dead Daisies. Be right back.
Start, I gotta make a
I'm Glenn Hughes, and you're listening to Cat Tales.
That is brilliant. I love that. I just absolutely love that track. And I see what you mean about the man inside, because we only have this moment, don't we, Glenn?
It really is. I mean, it sounds... if I was, you know, a young guy listening to this, I'd be going, what the fuck's he talking about? Because it's like, I think, for instance, I saw my mum and dad in the garden 30, 40 years ago. I'm thinking, what's they got their hands in the dirt for? And now, all these years later, I'm the guy with his hands in the dirt. In the garden, planting stuff. And it's just what happens to people when they got older. They notice the trees more. I plant trees and I notice the flowers more. I'm outside more. I live at the ocean. And before we got this thing. I mean, I've been living here for 20 years in this house and lived at the ocean here. And all of a sudden, in this COVID, I get up in the morning and go, my God, I actually do live at the ocean. I guess I didn't notice it for a couple of years. It's brought me back to nature, if you will. You know, it really has brought me back to nature.
And I think a lot of people are finding the same thing, aren't they? And that, you know, that can't be a bad thing. It's almost like the earth has said, you know, hold my wine a second. I've got to sort this out. We're going to, you know, we're going to get to the bottom of this and finish this for good. And that, I think it's going to be probably a good thing in the long run, but it's the pain in the in between, isn't it?
It's all really in trouble right now, financially. It's health-wise, mental health issues can prop up. And, you know, there's no mistakes. I'm supposed to be clean and sober for so long. I would not be able to deal with it if I was taking a drink, you know. It's important for me.
And that's great to hear it's coming out in this album. It's almost like this time now is going to give a lot of people quite a lot of material for something new next year, isn't it?
Well, I'm all writing some new stuff at the moment. But if you, I know you, I think you follow my music. I think if
I do.
You listen to all my solo records, Soul Mover, and all the stuff I've done from the 2000s, even the 90s, or whatever, you'll hear like the Addiction album, which I don't want to live that way again. All my stuff about recovery and awakening. The thing for me has been, I've been awakening for so long now. Each year I've become more awake to the real life presence of who we are as humans. And hence me being a work with a lot of animal charities and we're rescue, dog rescuers. And, you know, again, if you're a young kid, you probably wouldn't be doing anything, something you do later on in life. But I wish I could have been doing this earlier, but I can't fix that guy, can I? So all I know is that I think I'm on the right path here. You know, when I started with Joe in Black Country, I decided I'm going to make rock now. I cemented my path to stay, I would say, call it classic rock, if you will, but call it 70s music, whether it's retro or whatever. I am the guy that I grew my hair. I thought to myself, my fan base, when you go into legitimately, my fan base, as much as I love R&B music, my fan base are hard rock.
Yeah.
So I said 10 years ago, I'm going to go out now. I could have either gone the R&B direction or do music the Motown. But I said, no. So I wrote Black Country with Joe, that song. That was the first kind of cementation of Glenn coming back in that realm. And I haven't veered off that course since then. And I'm going to stay in this realm here of doing big songs for big, you know, I think it's arena rock music.
Yeah. And that's where it's going to be heard best, isn't it, really? And that's what you do best, because you can hold that stage, you've got that presence. And with the music and the lyrics, etc., it's about really touching that audience and inspiring them maybe along the path that you've gone.
Yeah. Yes, I'm very grateful to have the amazing fans.
Yeah.
And to be involved in this band with my friends, I've known Doug for a long, long time, as you know, and such a funny bunch of dudes. I mean, it really is family, you know. I mentioned this now because I'm chuckling, because I may have said last year or 2 years ago, Black Country would be the last band I would ever be in. Because I thought to myself, you know, 2 years ago, well, we want to make another record, you know. So, but, you know, people say to me, well, how come you're in the Dead Daisies? Well, I'm in there because it's family. And if I'm an only child, if I get close to someone and they've got something happening and they've asked me to become part of it, I'm already part of it anyway because you're my friend. But it's like, I'm going to join in because I like to be part of something. I like to hang with people that are close to me, that I genuinely care and love about. And when I can extend myself in the musical side of things, because I do carry that message, don't I? All songs I write are messages. They're not subliminal, you know.
And you've got the opportunity to actually do that. So it's great to hear that you're using your talents and your skills and the fact that you have a fan base who are prepared to listen to you for the greater good rather than just what a lot of, you know, musicians out there could potentially do, which is just make music. So that's an inspiration.
Yeah. I'm a singer and writer. The things about that, the human condition, and I've been doing that for since I've been sober, since 1992. So, yeah, changed my lifestyle completely and brought into this. I mean, when I look back at my songs I wrote in the 70s, I don't remember the 80s, but I was so damn young, you know, and now I'm writing about stuff that has happened to us as people. And again, for me, I think spiritually for me, if I can carry messages to help people, that's all that matters. Really all that matters.
Oh, that's brilliant, Glenn. That's absolutely brilliant. And it's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I wish you all the best with all that. And I'm a big admirer of your tenacity and your spirituality. And it's a pleasure to
thank you.
This time. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks,
see you soon.
Kat.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
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 You've been listening to Kat. To listen again to this and other tales, go to cattales.co.uk.